This is Gamercast episode 318. Peter Molyneux wants your money. This is the show recorded on the 26th of November, 2012. Yeah, I'm your host. My name's Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. What's happening? Why am I zoomed in a lot? Let's zoom out a bit.
Not much is happening, really. Gamercast.
Are you paying attention or not?
I'm sorry, I was just, writing to tell people that we're broadcasting. What? Oh,
just stop, I suppose, then, won't you?
Oh, Paul. Well, there's not really much going on, is there? It's almost Christmas. So, all the last games are coming out over the next 2 weeks. Not much news is going to be happening. Because, what's the point of announcing stuff now? Because people aren't going to be buying stuff now. All the new news is going to be the new year, really. Yeah, that's kind of it.
Oh, so is that it, then?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the end of the show, then.
Poor.
What?
There's still stuff on the show.
Oh,
sorry.
For the news.
So, of course, the Wii U comes out this week. They've announced their official midnight launch partner, who is HMV this time around. Who was it for the 3DS? Was it HMV or was it Game last time? I'm trying to think. You don't know, do you? No? Okay. Yeah, well, HMV's the partner this time around, so they've got a midnight launch at their flagship store in London on Oxford Street. They've got a few things going on.
Chat room says it was Game.
It was Game. Well, for people who don't live in London, it's impossible to...
What happened to the Wii T, anyone? What is the Wii T?
The Wii T? Wii U?
Said T. T's not next to you on the keyboard. No. It seems like a weird typo.
I don't know. I'm talking about the... So yeah, HMV are doing the launch in their Oxford Street store. First 100 people who will probably have to be queuing up on Thursday morning, maybe even earlier than that. First 100 people get a free copy of New Super Mario Bros. U, as well as another Wii U game of their choice from a selection that they have in store. Presumably the crappier third-party titles that are available. Then the next 100 people after those are given £5 gift vouchers to be redeemed only against a Wii U or Wii U games. And then finally the first 500 people in the queue. So this stuff's people, of course, who are purchasing it. The first 500 people in the queue will get a Wii U goodie bag. Nintendo's goodie bags are quite good, usually. They give you some nice stuff. But like usual, it'll probably just be something with... Well, lots of stuff with Wii U branding on it. Just like I did for Super Mario Galaxy. So, yeah. So, if you want to get... Pop down there. They said they have more stock than their other stores, because they've tried to allocate more stock to their London store.
Oh, penalising the rest of the country.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. Because I saw one, I think I read a post about the midnight launch somewhere, and people were complaining saying that they went to their HMV and their HMV didn't have any more allocations for pre-orders because they'd gotten rid of their couple that they were given, and they weren't doing midnight launches because there were a lack of people. Yeah, so I suppose that's kind of interesting for people who live in London. If you don't live in London, trains stop at about midnight. So you can't leave London, even if you wanted to. Makes it impossible to go to midnight launch. Which is why it's annoying that everything is so London central. Or London focused. Miles, Paul doesn't really mind. While he's doing an impression of, what's his name? Which is a radio. Oh.
I don't know, but I can't see because the grass is a hot dog.
I'll have it because you're breathing in your hood. Your hood and your collar. Oh, I can't think what his name is. There's a big guy that has a collar up to there.
Let's talk about Dizzy Returns because...
Did you ever play Dizzy games?
No.
No? I never had any of the games myself. Some of them came out on Spectrum, I believe, but I never had those. But I know quite a few people that do have very fond memories of Dizzy. There are people out there.
Nobody played that game, bar the Oliver Twins.
Not that many people, of course, because sadly they're not doing that well so far. So the Oliver Twins have launched a Kickstarter for Dizzy Returns.
For those that don't know, they're a bunch of geeky kids back when I was a kid who think they can make games.
Well, yeah, so the Oliver Twins were little bedroom coders in their teens. They made quite a bit of money, though. I remember they're kind of two of the main people.
I mean, I've played a few of their games.
I mean, Dizzy, of course, wasn't the only game that they made, and it wasn't the only series they made. Of course, they went on to found and create, I suppose, Blitz Game Studios and all their other subsidiaries, if that's how you say it. So, like, Volatile Games, Blitz Arcade, Blitz 1UP, which, of course, gone under, well, been stopped, and a few other things, and all their games they make pretty much are... not film-based IP, character IP games, so like SpongeBob. They made those Burger King games that never came out over here for 360, and a few other things. Were they 360, the Burger King games? You don't know. And a few other things that people will know of. Oh, they did... I can't even think of the name of that game. Something Tiger. The first 3D game on... Well, the first game on 360 to support 3D. Using 120Hz and making two screens of it and blending them together. Anyways, so they founded Blitz, and they mainly make games that are heavily supported by publishers, of course. And they have no one that has ever wanted to give them money to make a new Dizzy game. And this is, of course, because it may not work as a franchise in some publishers' eyes.
Of course it won't.
And would only really work with the original fans, really, of the series, of the games, even. So, yeah, first Dizzy game came out 25 years ago, because it came out in 97. There's been over 15 games since. They want 350 grand. They currently have 15 grand. They've got 24 days to go. It's a very British game. I doubt many people outside of the UK have played it.
Yaldi. You said it. Yeah, this is a failure. Let's move along to the next one.
Well, I was going to say, if you do like Dizzy, Nobody likes Dizzy. Some people like Dizzy. If you do, and you want to fund it, they've got pledges ranging from £10 to £5,000. the most expensive pledge that has been backed is they've got two £500 ones.
If they want it so bad, they can pay for it.
To be fair, they've probably got enough money. They want to release it on iOS and Windows, and will release it on other platforms should they get a bit more money than they're asking. Next up, maybe Paul wants to talk about this one.
Oh yes, so 22 Cans have announced Project Goddess. 22 Cans is, of course, a studio that Peter Molyneux set up after he got bored of working on Fable and wanted to go and do a game that he's been trying to do all his whole career, basically, which is another populist slash black and white style game. it's called Goddess, subject to potential change, and it's a Kickstarter project. They want 400 grand, basically.
Yeah.
Not
that I'm sure Peter doesn't have that just lying around in his pocket.
But sorry, Peter Molyneux, you've got that. You've got enough money to pay for it yourself.
I mean, to be fair, it's probably because he doesn't want to pay the wages of the people out of his pocket.
Peter Molyneux, you've got enough money to do it. If you want the game so bad, you can pay to do it. Why are you trying to get the money off me? Yeah, 400 grand is just sell your house. Your house. I'm sure you've got a 2 to 3 million pound house. Flog that, sorted. You can have the game.
I bet he's got a lovely house.
I mean, 400,000. And the thing is, 400,000 isn't a lot of money for a game. So this is going to be a dumbed down mobile game ported to Windows that will look really terrible. And I'll just be like, the hell are you doing? We've had no screenshots. Well, we might have had screenshots, but they look so bad, I hope they're not screenshots. I hope they're just really blocky concept art, but who knows, to be honest. So yeah, we got that. Of course, no one cares about that. What everyone really cares about is Elite Dangerous. This is the game on Kickstarter you need to back. They want £1.25 million, and then we can have a new Elite game.
And they released a new thing yesterday, didn't they?
Elite4Dangerous.com. Go there. Give them all the money you have. I personally pledge £20,000 because I want that game.
Have you heard about, as we're talking about Elite Dangerous, the guy who has launched a Kickstarter so that he can pay for a pledge for Elite Dangerous? Because he wants to write a book. So he wants to do that. You know that? Is that the most expensive pledge? Where you're allowed to write a book?
£4,500, I think.
Yeah, so the guy can't afford that. But he's apparently created a Kickstarter so that he can try and afford it. So a Kickstarter for a Kickstarter. So, yeah.
But anyway, from this point on, bar Elite Dangerous, we're not talking about Kickstarter for anything else. Because
yeah,
I'm sick and tired of it.
Oof.
You know, alright, games development is risky. If you don't make a shite game, it won't be risky. What are you doing? What's this? What's going on? She's bleeding. Oh no.
My ear is
bleeding. Maybe if you didn't have that crappy Hawking t-shirt on, it wouldn't happen.
I doubt the Hawking t-shirt has anything to do.
Where's the MechWarrior Online t-shirt?
I don't have a MechWarrior Online t-shirt.
What are you doing?
My ear's bleeding.
Stop picking at it. See, when I bleed on the show, I've got blood pouring down my face. You don't see me stopping, do you? Let's talk about Strike Suit Zero. Because I don't know anything about that.
Which was a Kickstarter game. Oh my, I keep going all blurry. So the people at Born Ready Studios have now set a date for the release of Strike Suit Zero, which is their mech game. Well, they're not their mech game. It's their space shooter that allows you to transform into a mech. But it also uses a joystick and everything.
You don't transform into a mech. You are a mech warrior.
Okay. But yeah, so they've had a successful Kickstarter campaign. It closed with $174,000. And they've announced that it's coming out the 24th of January next year now. And they're very, very happy that people have supported them. But I guess people want a space game where you can transform into a mech. Fly in space.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Can I have another game?
No.
But I want another game. You're not allowed to talk. I'm on the camera.
Okay.
Let's talk about Eurocom, because I don't know anything about that either.
Eurocom are a company. They've been making games for probably over 20 years. Maybe 20 years, I'm not sure. Not 100% sure. But it was first announced that they were closing their studio. To be fair, they haven't really worked on anything that good in quite
some time.
Oh yeah,
that was it. They were shutting down. I remember
yeah.
now.
So they made the recent 007 Legends. They also released Harry Potter Connect with the horrible, creepy box art.
It's got Ron flying around in the background, yay.
And Harry's shooting him with his wand.
No, Harry's on the thing. You see the wand in front of the person looking at the box.
Oh,
it's a first-person box.
Well, Harry's looking creepy, or someone's looking creepy.
They both look creepy.
They're very photoshopped. So yeah, sadly, Eurocom have let a large number of their people go. Apparently, about 150 jobs have gone, and they're keeping 50 employees for now. Because it was originally said, oh, they've just totally closed down. Although, one thing I heard today is that apparently, all those 150 people that have been fired, or let go, whatever it is they're calling it, aren't being paid for their last month of working. And the 50 people who are staying on, although I think I heard it was about 30, are working for free in the hopes that they can save the company, really, I think. Obviously, because they work there. Super.
There are employment laws.
Yeah. They're doing it out of their own want. That's what I heard
earlier.
For
the people who were let go.
Oh, yeah, I know that. They have to be able to get...
Anyway, who cares about that? Let's talk about Hog Rocket.
Yeah, Hog Rocket.
This isn't a Kickstarter game, is
no.
it?
No. Hog Rocket were the company that was, I suppose, built up from the ashes of Bizarre Creations.
All them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bizarre had some good games until they stopped doing Project Gotham.
Why are people calling me Australian?
You're Australian?
I'm not Australian.
I'm Australian.
Lots of people think I'm Australian. It's annoying.
Can we get on topic? Yeah, because okay, this is going on and on.
So yeah, Hog Rocket were made from the ashes of Bizarre Creations. However, sadly, Hog Rocket have now closed their studio. It was just a small studio. They made like an iOS game. But yeah, they've had to move on to other things, obviously, because they weren't having enough income from Hog Rocket, which is a shame. So now there's no company from the death of Bizarre Creations.
Apart from Game Maker.
Not really. So Game Maker Studio now has Windows Phone 8 support, so that you can export as a Windows Phone 8 game.
So it's got Windows 8 support as well.
Yeah, it's already got Windows 8 support. But Windows Phone 8 support is new, and they've been waiting for it. Well, this is the most recent update that's been coming out, and that now they kind of support everything they need to.
Fantastic.
If you don't already have the Master Collection version of Game Maker Studio, you will have to pay $199 for the Windows Phone 8 support module thing, which is a lot of money, considering if you've already spent out a load on the studio as well. So yeah, that's cool. So they support, like, you can export to Facebook. You can export
to Facebook.
Yeah, you can make a Facebook game. You can,
Flash?
Yeah, I guess. HTML5. You can export an executable to be played on Windows. You can do Android, iOS, Windows Phone 8 now, and Windows 8. I just thought I'd mention it. I think it's cool. I think it's nice that they're supporting Windows Phone 8. I'd love to make a game on it, but I don't really want to spend $200 on the...
Just download the SDK and make it yourself.
Yeah. But Game Maker's nicer because it's drag and drop.
It's right here. Let's do it.
You're going to make a game while I talk about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD. So Activision have announced that there is a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 HD Revert Pack coming out for the HD.
No, we don't want it. We don't care.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD is cool.
It's not name.
It's going to be available on December 4th on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and Steam for what is $4.99, so around that in its respective areas.
Too expensive.
It comes with three levels from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, which is the airport, Los Angeles, and Canada. You also get...
Wow, it comes with an airport. The other level's Canada.
Canada. And Los Angeles.
Yeah, Canada's a
bit
bigger. It'll
be, like, different. I know it is. And then you also get some new skaters. Steve Caballero? Caballero. And Jeff Rowley.
Caballero!
And you can also play as James Hetfield and Robert Trujillo, who are from Metallica, as well as there being a Metallica track added. Yeah, so new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater of DLC, because I guess there hasn't been any yet, so that's the first piece. Grand Theft Auto Vice City 10th Anniversary Edition is coming out on iOS and Android on December 6th. It includes updated character models, improved lighting effects, and also some gameplay additions through firing and targeting. They haven't really said exactly what. Fully customizable control layout as well, but you'd kind of expect that with that kind of game on a phone. It's going to be £2.99 on iOS and £3.72 on Android. And they will also be releasing some Vice City anniversary themed goodies on the Rockstar warehouse for people who want to buy those.
Oh yeah, Usenet. What group was that? Let's talk about Grand Theft Auto Vice City, because
I just spoke about that.
This is a brand new fantastic game. Fine, let's talk about... Oh my god, I remember that group back in the olden days.
Okay, so next up, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath HD is now available on Amazon and Gamefly digital stores, as well as GOG later in January, which is good old games. So does that mean it's not on Steam? So this is the HD re-release of Stranger's Wrath. Who is Ski Jump?
Some guy from Usenet.
Okay, how random.
I found Beaver Jouster on World of Warcraft, and we found this other guy on... don't add me on Skype. Shut up.
Yeah, if you want to buy Stranger's Wrath, it costs £7.49. Oh, you can get it on Steam. £7.49 on Gamefly, or £7.99 on Amazon or Steam. This other thing doesn't pay attention. So yeah, they've revamped it. So they revamped it already for other platforms. However, now it's out on PC, well, Windows. Some Cinemora news. Of course, we mentioned Cinemora last week with their awesome Lego layouts, which I need to make. Cinemora is now available on PlayStation Network and PlayStation Network for Vita and PlayStation 3 as well, and is available. What is it? Actually, no. It's just. Is it just Vita? I thought it was coming out on PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 3.
No, this is PlayStation 3 though. For whatever the equivalent of £9, it would probably be £9.99. And that's available already for you to play. It's got like a GPS unlock gallery for anyone who bought a GPS equipped PlayStation Vita.
Nope.
And they've added some extra stuff as well. Some Scootish news.
Scootish news. We don't
have Scotland. There's an MCM Scotland now happening next year. On 31st of August, they're having their first MCM event in Glasgow at the SECC. So, of course, when things like MCM happen in London, people are kind of left out when they live up in Scotland. And other than that, they've done like MCM Midlands and things in Birmingham and stuff like that. But this is getting closer for the Scottish people who would like to go. Oh, there you go. They did an MCM Manchester. But yeah, so they have guests, video games, lots of stuff like they usually do, lots of anime stuff. So I'm sure people up north will appreciate it. I'm not going to talk about that. War of the Roses has its... Wait, no. Oh, no. That's...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm just going to... Because... There's this really annoying thing where I copy stuff and paste it, and it pastes the previous thing I copied. It only happens every now and again, and I just had it happen. So, there is now, when this loads, first kind of big update for War of the Roses out. It includes new armaments, including the Kingmaker sword, a new suit of armour, complete with paint options, a new helmet, 4 new visors, and 7 new weapons like a gothic mace, halberd, and a brand new horn-spanned crossbow. That sounds weird. And there's also a new game mode called Pitched Battle that challenges knights to take far more care with their lives as their death is final. It's in an open beta
their
phase.
Death is final.
And it places great importance on bandaging and reviving teammates, otherwise they die and won't be able to fight again until the next match. That sounds quite cool. And that's out... Not yet. I imagine they'll give us a date soon for when it's out. So that's cool. And then... Finally, Siberia 3 has been confirmed. So Siberia 1 and 2 came out on... PC. Did Siberia come out on PS2?
Oh my god.
Siberia 2 came out on PS2. I believe Siberia came out on PS2 as well. And yeah, it's been picked up by...
I'm checking my stats out now because apparently iTunes is being gave a podcast.
Anuman Interactive. They're going to make it a multi-platform game and it's scheduled for release 2014-2015, so they obviously want a long amount of time. Siberia is like an adventure game made by Microids.
It has dropped a lot.
What has?
Maybe iTunes is being lame. You have to check on iTunes to make sure it's...
I can have a look when I'm downstairs.
It actually works. Because so far this month we've only had 6,654 downloads.
Is that it?
As opposed to 9,279.
That has definitely dropped since August, hasn't it?
Yeah, August was 13,000 odd. So, need to check that.
I think iTunes is just terrible in general.
Well, we know
that. At what that ski jump toes are saying. So yes, new Siberia games for any fans.
7 gigabytes of bandwidth.
Of the originals. So yeah. And that's kind of it for the news this week. As I said, Paul hasn't even been paying attention. Anyway, as I've said, the news gets quite dry when it comes to Christmas, as we all know.
Yeah, now it's time for the fun bit.
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
Okay, I've been lazy again this week, and I'm just using an old sound clip. So anyway, last week everyone would have heard this. So I can tell you right now, no one actually guessed what it was. We had, what, 20 odd people try and guess what it was? They were all wrong. All wrong. The answer was actually Elite. In honour of, obviously,
Elite. I suppose, Dangerous. Yeah, we were talking about Elite. Were we talking about Elite last week?
Well, I was thinking about it anyway.
You were always thinking about Elite.
People ask you, what's your favourite game? It's Elite, isn't it? And they're like, what's that? Is it on Xbox? So GZ to me again. Hopefully this week people will actually be able to guess. So this is a flying game. The title has like an F number, like, you know, you've got an F-13 Tomcat.
Well, I remember us doing this before.
Or like an F-16, whatever they're called. So it's got a number like that in it. So yeah, it was only like a couple of months back.
I remember it.
So we'll see what everyone's memory is like.
Mine is terrible.
Okay, Catherine guesses mine is terrible.
My memory is absolute pants.
Pants. Okay. Chat room, you got a few seconds to guess.
F-16. You've said it. You said F-16, didn't you?
F-16, F-14, F-11.
F-11?
F-11.
F-117.
There's lots in there.
Don't just raise your eyebrows at me.
Stupid American plane designations. F-18, yeah, F-18. F-19, F-15, F-13, F-20, F-21, F-22. It's really just a question of guessing.
Just guess F with a number, right? F-16.
Alright, let's move along.
F-16, can I have an F-16 after my pants?
Since the chat room's going.
Let me have an F-16 after my pants. Thank you.
People do try and listen to this show. They have no clue what's going on. Let's move along to the super exciting, really long, boring part of the show.
Yeah.
Because all the Wii stuff's coming out.
There's lots of games coming out.
Yeah. Too many games. There's too many.
Releases this week.
Yeah, so the Wii U is coming out in Europe this week. What are you doing?
Waiting for this to come back. Yeah, the Wii U is coming out. Of course, one of the biggest releases of this week is Far Cry 3.
Whoa. Nothing's bigger than the Wii U.
Far Cry 3's been reviewing pretty darn well.
Damn it.
Far Cry 3 is coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows. This is following the story of a dude and his friends who went to some island, did some drinking and playing around, like jumping out of planes and shit. And they then ran into a spot of trouble, which involved people with guns. His mate's getting killed, and the lady's getting taken away. And then you encounter this guy called Vass, who's this kind of crazy guy with stretched ears and tattoos, because obviously that makes him crazy.
Stretched ears. Like Quark.
Exactly like Quark.
Well, that's how it sounds.
It's not.
It is.
So you're kind of surviving in the kind of jungle island that is Far Cry 3. It's got co-op, which looks really janky compared to the actual single player campaign. At least it did when they showed it off at the Sony conference at E3. However, though, the main game is really pretty darn good. I played for about an hour at Eurogamer Expo and really enjoyed it. Skinning bears, hunting down people, taking over camps.
Has it got the Predator in it?
Getting radio towers up online to uncover the map. It's really fun. There's no Predator. I'm sorry, Paul. How about you buy it on PC, try and mod it and add the Predator in jungle? How about that? See if you can mod Far Cry 3.
Predator.
Aww.
Don't work.
Is that how you mod things? You just open Far Cry 3 and type in on your keyboard, Predator, return.
Add Predator.
So yeah, Far Cry 3 is looking pretty cool. I kind of want to get a copy. I'm enjoying Hitman right now though, so.
Yeah, Hitman's good.
Are we going to talk about Hitman at the end? If we make this quick.
Why are we talking about Hitman?
On like reviews and previews.
We're doing a review.
We could do a brief review. Just say we're enjoying it.
Yeah,
okay, anyway.
Brief means 50 minutes.
So yeah, Far Cry 3 is the biggest kind of multi-platform release coming out this week. Then we have the Nintendo Wii U. This is coming out in three basic packs. We got the basic pack, which is a white Wii U with 8 gigabyte hard drive.
Don't buy that version, because after the update, you'll have like 3 gig left.
Yeah, I was talking to someone at work about that today. I was like, what's the point in anyone buying a low-end type of a console? It's the same with the arcade. Why would you buy the arcade? Back when the 360 came out. Why would you do that? Why not buy one with a hard drive? It's the same with everything. Why would you buy a lower-end version of a console when you can get the better version when you pay a little bit more? Anyway, you get the premium pack, which has a 32 gigabyte hard drive, I believe. 32 gig.
32 gigabyte hard drive. Yeah.
Okay.
So you got the premium pack that comes with Nintendo Land, or you could get the Zombie U pack. Yeah, let's decide to do it fast. Yeah,
okay.
You can get the Zombie U pack. Yeah, £345, but it comes with Zombie U and a Pro controller.
But no copy of Nintendo Land. And all the extra features that a premium pack has, so like a sensor bar and some stands for stuff. And of course, I guess if you buy it in white, your Wii U controller thing is white, and you buy it in black, and your Wii U controller thing is black. The basic pack retails at $260, $310, and $345. And that's the... You don't get those. You don't... I'm sorry. I'm just saying to someone in the chat room, you don't get Nintendo Land with Zombie U. You're paying the extra bit of money, so you get a Pro Controller.
Pro Controller, which is a good value, because the Pro Controller is like 50 quid to buy it separately.
So yeah, Wii U's coming out. Then there's a whole host of games coming out. So Assassin's Creed 3 is coming out. This, of course, came out on the 31st of October on platforms. And last week it came out on PC. This week it's out on Wii U. Then we've got Batman Arkham City Armored Edition, which is with all the DLC and stuff, and actually looking really quite nice. They've done some nice stuff to the lighting in it. Then we have Ben 10 Omniverse. This is coming out on the Wii U, but it's also coming out on all other platforms as well, which is a new Ben 10 game. Then we've got Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which Reggie or someone is saying looks best on the Wii U as opposed to other consoles. Then we've got Darksiders 2 coming out the Wii U as well, which is of course just a port of the previous Darksiders 2, which came out back in August 31st, I think. Then we've got Epic Mickey 2, which of course only came out last week. And Power of 2 is coming out on the Wii U as well. Then we've got Family Party on the Wii U. I think that's a Namco Bandai game, so just a Family Party game. Then we've got FIFA 13, so FIFA 13 on the Wii. If we're in America, you'd have Madden 13, but it's not coming out on the Wii U in the UK.
We're not in America.
I know, but I'm just saying for anyone in America. Funky Barn is coming out, which is some weird farm game, but not like Farming Sim. Then we've got Just Dance 4, which is its version for the Wii U. Then we've got Mass Effect 3 Special Edition, New Super Mario Bros. U, which is, of course, a new Mario game, which should be a 3D Mario game, if you ask me. Then I would buy one. Nintendo Land, which is a compilation of 12 different Nintendo-based games. Donkey Kong Crash Course being one of my favourites of them, because all the others are fairly multiplayer-focused. And for someone who doesn't constantly have four people in a house, it's pointless. Then we have Rabbids Land, because of course sadly Rayman Legends is not coming out on launch, another reason why I will not be purchasing a Wii U, I believe. And this is like a theme park full of different little things. Then we've got Skylanders Giants, which of course came out on other platforms fairly recently, maybe a month ago now. Skylanders Giants
Skylanders Giants came out on the Sonic of October, the 12th of October.
Came out
maybe?
Back in October. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is coming out, which of course came out 2 weeks ago now, I believe, on other platforms. It's coming out on the Wii U. Then we've got Sports Connection, which is you know, the general kind of third party stuff that you get, well, that you got with the Wii pretty much. Well, actually, to be fair, the Wii, when it was released, didn't have that much third party stuff, whereas the Wii U has evolved and all the people are like, hey, we're going to release that kind of... Why is he talking about Charlotte?
Captain Albert Wesker, or Colonel Charlotte. Captain whatever the stupid thing is.
Captain Albert Wesker, you got it right first time. Then we've got Tank Tank Tank, which I hear is a very poor port of, well, Tank Tank Tank's a Wii downloadable game originally, I believe. And they're making a Wii U version. It's best apparently if you've got lots of friends playing it, otherwise if you're playing on your own it's a bit naff. Then we've got Tekken Tag Tournament 2 Wii Edition, which is Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on the Wii U. Then we've got Transformers Prime, that is also coming out on other consoles as well, which is a new Transformers game. Then we've got Warriors Orochi 3 Hyper, which of course there's always a Tecmo Koei game coming out on launches of Nintendo things these days. So there was Samurai Warriors on the 3DS when it came out, and we got Warriors of Orochi 3 on the Wii U. Then we got Your Shape Fitness Evolved 2013 on the Wii U for anyone wanting to do their fitness stuff, considering that's the only fitness game coming out on launch for the Wii U. Then we've also got Zombie U, of course, which is the survival horror game has got coming out. Consoles don't usually launch with survival horror games. Although then again, the 360 launched with Condemned, which was really quite
good.
Condemned actually came out a day before the 360 came out, which was always quite funny. Buying a game for a platform that wasn't released. But yeah, Zombie looks alright. Zombie U looks alright, even just said Zombie.
Yeah, but has not been reviewed very well, has it? Also, it's 7 out of 10.
It's got some good reviews and it's got some bad reviews. So it's kinda hard to know whether it's good or not. I played it and I actually thought it was quite pants. I thought the level design was poor.
Well, I think the level design's poor in Hitman, to be honest.
Okay, I totally disagree with you on Hitman.
No.
It's really well put together.
No. It's like, I've had enough of this. Let's rush through it. It's not. I'm having fun. Let's enjoy it. This is doing my nutting. Let's rush through it.
I'm playing it. I'm enjoying this. I'm going to play through it. I haven't have, except for trying to get through those bloody police officers.
Yeah,
the train station.
If they take all the police out of it and replace Hitman with a Predator, it'd be a brilliant game.
Well, no, if every level was like the Chinatown level, like a standard Hitman game where you're just doing your kind of things.
I want to be able to explore a level. I can't explore a level if it's 20 police in one
room. Well, that's the thing, because like, I love Chinatown the first time around. The second time you go to Chinatown, you're either going to be dressed in a suit and people are going to be suspicious of you. You can be dressed as a cop and the cops will be suspicious of you. Or you can be dressed as a cook person, a chef, and they're all going to be suspicious of you. Considering there's tons of them there as well.
If you play it on easy, your instinct regenerates. Yay.
So yeah, Zombie U, the multiplayer is great. I really enjoyed the multiplayer, which is like tower defense, really.
Tower defense.
You send out zombies, or, well, if you play as the zombies, you send out zombies, and then there's human players trying to get through the zombies to get to the flags. I think they were flags or whatever they were. And the zombies you could send to go munch the flag things. So if you captured them all, you won.
Does it make the same munch noise as Plants vs. Zombies?
No. It's made by Ubisoft, Paul. Then we've got Rise of the Guardians video game, which is based off the film that's out
terrible
at some point soon. Or this week, maybe. Which coming out on the Wii U, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, 3DS, Nintendo DS, and Nintendo Wii. I should have said Nintendo 3DS as well, I guess. But Rise of the Guardians is, of course, a film-based IP game. Then we got Lego Lord of the Rings on the Wii, because it didn't come out last week on the Wii. It came out on everything else. And then, finally, Zone of the Enders HD Collection is coming out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. This is the Zoe HD Collection for anyone who played Zoe or Zone of the Enders, whatever you want to call it, on the PlayStation 2 or Second Runner, or didn't get a chance to play Second Runner.
It's pronounced Zote.
Zoe.
Zote.
Zone of the Enders. Oh. Well, you miss out the T.
Oh, so you just skip out the
it's
words.
It's just called Zoe. That's what it's always been called. Zoe.
Z-O-T-E.
Zone of the Enders. And yeah, that's all the releases this week.
That is how fast you should do releases every week.
I don't have a drink. I'm dying.
Oh, you don't this week, do you? You know,
no.
What a shame.
I left my glass downstairs.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Right, where's my folder of weird sound clips? Since we're apparently reviewing Hitman now.
Well, we don't have to. We could.
Let's do it.
Previews and or reviews.
Yeah, so we've both been playing Hitman Absolution.
Right, let's just start up and say the PC version is glitched to hell. I started up first time. The sound in the cutscenes works and everything, and then it gets into the game, oh, the sound cuts out. So I'm like, let's try some just basic troubleshooting here and set my sound system to stereo as opposed to quadraphonic, because I have quadraphonic, because 5.1 is silly. Quadraphonic is where it's at. My hands are actually operated by a puppet under the thing here. The puppet's operated by my legs, alright?
I'm actually secretly operating them, that's why you don't see my hands.
So yeah, the PC version...
I've got a piece of string that I pull.
The PC version... I had to put the sound to stereo.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. My rear speakers are now just doubling up whatever I've got playing in the first, because I've got in the front ones. Then we had glitches with level scripting and events not being triggered properly.
So I think there are... There's just generally a few issues with their scripting. Their trick boxes.
Because you've not noticed it on Xbox, have you?
Hey, I've noticed bad scripting.
You have noticed it, yeah.
I haven't had any issues like you have. So when I thought there was a guy just repeating, it's because I had to get closer to him.
Yeah.
That's all what it is. It's all based on proximity, and they've got it a bit tighter than they should do.
So on the Chinatown level, which is the second level, which is obviously really good for demoing
it's a great level.
My main dude and the drug dealer dude never did anything. They just stood there all the time. Which is fine, because I can just shoot him. Done.
Sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Two and one.
I want to do it all the different ways you can do it, because that's the fun bit with it. You can explore different ways to play it. Which is good, because some of the levels are really good for replayability.
And especially when you replay a level as well, what's best about it is the fact that you can then select the specific component, specific locations. So... Ignore the Chinatown level because it's in one location. But for example, the tutorial level spans across three locations, is it? There's the gardens, the greenhouse, and the mansion. Oh, there's mansion first floor and mansion second floor. Or just mansion. But you can then, if you want to replay the mission, choose the select location in the mission that you want to play. Which I think makes it best because, of course, then... if there's just one thing, if there's one part of the mission you didn't dress up, just say in your suit, you can replay
always
that
use
bit.
My suit.
Always? Always?
Yeah, always.
Okay.
Innit?
Okay. I think it's great for replaying the levels. Heck, I played the Chinatown level so many times and did not get bored of it at all. Just because it's so much fun.
Totally.
The only level that I haven't enjoyed, which I'm sure Paul will agree with me, is the demo that they showed off for E3 the first time around. So the library level, where there's the police officers, which then goes into the hippie house, which totally changed from E3, the E3 video, and then it then goes off into a train station. They... polished it to hell or looked after it to hell. They had too many people looking over it and it's just not that great. After that level it was fine. Prior to that level it was great. It just felt like they kind of overdid it on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played any more yet?
No, because I've been, funnily enough, at work.
Hey, that's my work. My picture's better.
Sorry.
The back of your head doesn't look green.
Green?
Yeah, it's because of the flash on Adam Adams. I can't even think what his name is.
Matt Bud.
Matt's phone.
Matt's crappy iPhone.
The picture I've got of your barcode is much better. I'm really enjoying it. I've found lots of tiny little issues with scripting that you have to move so much closer. Like, I was hanging around waiting for two guys to move on the... That was the Vixen, the strip club level, I suppose you could call it. I was waiting for ages, waiting for them to move. However, what I had to do is then kind of come round and go really close to them for their kind of movement to trigger so they could then carry on. I mean, one of the reasons for a lot of this is so that they can play out the dialogue that they want you to hear. We watched the Burning Hope making of last night, or I watched it and Paul... briefly
I had to watch it as well.
Yeah, you couldn't
we
watch Jaws.
We could have been watching Batman or Jaws, but no, we had to put something on.
But yeah, they make it known that they wanted to try and put little stories in with the dialogue from the characters, which is why at times you have to get a lot closer to hear stuff, which is why they don't trigger things earlier. But I'm really, really liking it, even if it is a little iffy on the scripting. Only ever so slightly. There's just a few things that they could fix quite easily. But no, I'm absolutely loving it.
There's a few things I want them to fix.
I want to play it.
They should make it so you play as a predator. And it's instead of you know, sneaking around, you're just in it. That would be so much better. Just take the Predator from Alien vs. Predator, put him into Hitman. You don't even need to do much with the level design. A lot of the levels you could probably get away with it as long as you can get up on buildings and stuff. And that would be the ultimate Predator game.
Into Assassin's Creed.
The Predator is not some time-travelling genetic memory man. Which is ridiculous.
You're saying you want to assassinate people, but you want to be able to jump on buildings.
The Predator does not assassinate people. He hunts people.
Fine, you make a Predator game, I'll play Hitman. Like Hitman.
Predator.
You've already searched for Predator and come up with no results.
I've got 6 files for Predator. Yes. Yeah. Hey, I come across so much better on video, apparently.
But yeah, so Hitman's really good. We recommend you pick it up if you're a Hitman. Well, potentially if you're a Hitman fan. I mean, I've played a level and not done any point shooting. Have you done any point shooting other than the tutorial?
Actually, no, because I can't figure out how to get into the point shooting mode.
I think it's a bit more fiddly on PC.
It is. I've activated it a couple of times by mistake.
You know that uses instinct when you activate it.
I'm pressing buttons and I'm like, is it C to that or space? And it's like, I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, I mean, point shooting is there for the kind of people that want that. It's not really something that I want from the game.
I would, of course, use my Xbox controller, but someone broke my wireless adapter.
I put it in my computer and now it doesn't work when it goes in your computer.
You put it in your computer and the next time I go to use it, you broke it. That cost money, that did.
That's why you use my Tron controller.
This is a wireless game. That's not an official controller.
It works.
It doesn't work.
It does work.
It's all stupid looking.
It's Tron.
This is expensive. This is a wireless gaming receiver for Windows.
They're about a tenner.
And you broke it. I bet it don't work.
All I did was plug it in.
I bet this bombs out the flipping recording.
But yeah, the instinct mode is actually quite useful for seeing your the paths that your enemies are taking, or just to see their positions and the ways they're facing. Of course, you've got the map for that. Or if you want to be like elite,
just dead. It don't work.
You can go into purist mode and have nothing but a crosshair on screen at all.
Instinct, however, I think is a bad choice for game design.
Well, the thing is,
I don't like energy bars. Hitman should be able to do these things all of the time.
Well, like it. I mean, there's an exact
or none of the
skill
time.
In Dishonored. You just use it all the time.
Dishonored,
but it's the same as, you know, detective mode. That's what it is. It's the detective mode of Hitman. But the thing is, with detective mode in Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, a lot of people played the game in that mode, and they obviously don't want you to do that in Hitman. Well, to be fair, I found myself doing it most of the time. I mean, the only reason it goes down, at least in normal mode, is if you're spotted. And you want to
and you do your.
I'm hiding in the back of my head.
Yeah, here's a top tip to all the police and other people in Hitman. If you see a guy walking around like this, it's probably the guy you're looking for.
Or if a bottle or something is thrown in your direction, how about you look at where it came from once in a while? I find that a little weird that their AI doesn't seem to remember things.
Yeah.
I thought it's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it.
I like it as well.
I'm liking it. Well, Paul watched me playing it and he was like, I want to play this game. And then I think you were kind of like, hey, I'll do better than you, kind of thing.
It's pretty good on Steam. So obviously, it would be nice on the PC one to have achievements.
Yeah.
Because that is like the main reason for doing a lot of stuff for me. But just a dick around it and it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm loving it. On 360. No crashes, no bugs so far, no anything. Seems to run okay. Like you'd expect from a console title.
Yeah, Audi. Game Maker Pro is reduced on Steam right now, apparently.
Well, yeah, it has been since they launched it. But that's not just...
Steam?
Is that... That's not the studio...
Steam.
Master Edition.
Steam is so crap. Wow, it's finally... After all that waving it around, it finally loaded. The Legend of Grimrock! The game that isn't Grimrock, even though it should be.
But it's Grimrock.
Counter-Strike, go.
Should we finish off the show
complete.
Then?
Yeah, let's close it up. Feedback is always feedback at GamerCast.net. We record the show every week on a Monday, 8 o'clock. You can check us out at GamerCast.net/live or on Twitch.tv/GamerCast.net. Guesses for name that game, feedback at GamerCast.net, or leave a comment on this week's episode on the website at GamerCast.net. There you go. Done. Sorted.
We will catch you all next week.
Will we?
Yes.
Darn.
Sorry.